Blind, A Sixth Sense was an exhibition by blind sculptor Victoria Clare, which took place in February of 2018 and received phenomenal interest. The exhibition was unique and Victoria Clare joins me now. Hi, Victoria.
Hello, Simon. How are you?
Well, thank you. Now, we should say you are registered blind now. You have retinitis pigmentosa, don't you?
Yes, that's right. And I've got 5% remaining residual vision.
So tell us a bit about the exhibition, because it, as I've said, it was unique.
Yeah, it certainly was. I came up with the concept well over a year ago to create 6 sculpted pieces which represent the senses, all of which sight, sound, smell, touch, taste, and a sixth sense. So the sixth sense for me was trust, which came about because I've learned to use my long cane and I found a sense of trust and a sense of freedom. And that really was the catalyst for the exhibition, and I wanted to share that experience with the public. So Blind to Sixth Sense was created as an engaging exhibition to invite the public into a completely pitch black gallery space where they could use their other senses to interpret the 6 sculptures.
So there was 3 messages, wasn't there, that you were trying to convey in the exhibition?
Yes, the first message for me was a personal one of inviting people into my world and understanding how my world is as a blind person. The second one, again, was to engage the public, sighted people most especially, to use their other senses. I think the world is a very visually orientated place and people tend to really just use their sight or perhaps their hearing, but most certainly not smell or taste or touch or indeed this what I explain as a sixth sense. And the third actual mission statement was to open up the exhibiting world to be much more accessible to all disabilities, really, and obviously most certainly visual impairment, because you can't touch artwork in national galleries. And obviously that is how we blind people interpret our environment around us. So we're quite excluded when we want to go and enjoy art. So I want to change that. And I want curators to think about being more outside of the box and making more exhibitions much, much more accessible to people like us.
Now, sometimes you can get audio description for an exhibition, but you didn't do this. You're wanting people to interpret it using their own senses. What kind of response did you get from viewers of the exhibition?
Well, the response was phenomenal, actually. It was on for 2 weeks, and it had 500 visitors in total, which came from all over the country, actually. Even a couple came from Plymouth and Portsmouth. And basically, it had quite a lot of publicity around it. The BBC did a small report on it, and also KMTV as well. So people were hearing about it on the television and then wanting to come and view it. And I made sure that I was available to be there pretty much most of the time. And that made it a much more engaging experience as well, because I would invite the public to go in 2 at a time for safety reasons, to go around a very structured, almost built set, if you like, to go and touch the work and interpret the work. So they were very safe. And then I would then invite them back in with the lights on so that they could then see the work and to see if their imagination and what they thought it was indeed what it actually was. So it was a very, very interesting experience.
And did people get the messages, do you think?
I believe they did, yeah, because I think a lot of people automatically said to me, wow, you know what, this is, you know, we've never had this experience before, and indeed this particular experience in a visual arts has never been done before. And they said that to go into a completely pitch black room, automatically a lot of people were saying how incredibly vulnerable they felt immediately. And had to use and call upon that sense of space and that sense of trust to get them around the exhibition. And obviously they would use their sense of touch as a main to interpret, but, you know, there was a piece in there which represented sound, and that piece was a handcrafted electric guitar, which was all amped up as well. So as the people were touching they would hit the strings and all the sound would come out of the amp, you know. So a very engaging experience, I think, for all of the people that viewed it.
And the pieces are made of wood because that's the medium you like to work in. What is it about wood that you like?
Well, I've been working in the medium of wood for 25 years now, and although I have actually experimented in other mediums, I always feel that wood is such a beautiful, expressive medium to work in, and the grain always expresses beautifully when it's carved and finished, and the richness of the wood as well. And for me, the finishing of my work is extremely smooth and glassy, so I think that really invites people to touch my work, and it's very, very tactile.
And I think that's quite an amazing concept, actually, what you did there by taking people around, letting them experience it in the dark by using touch and smell and etc., and then marrying it up with it back in the light. Were people surprised sometimes, or were they quite amazed that they had imagined exactly what it really looked like in real life?
Yes, indeed. There was one particular piece that actually was the first piece that people arrived at, and that was taste. This piece was a representation of a garlic being a very strong taste and quite a nice, flowing, bulbous sort of piece of work to feel. And not many people got that, but interestingly enough, there was a fair few blind and visually impaired people that came to the exhibition over the fortnight, and they were the ones, of course, like myself, who indeed have an advantage. And they were the ones that were interpreting all the work correctly.
That's interesting then, isn't it?
Yeah, very interesting.
Because it shows how much, generally, we do rely on sight.
Absolutely, yeah. And indeed, for blind community, how we really rely on our sense of feel, you know, and we can interpret much, much more accurately.
Have you had any commissions that have stemmed from the exhibition?
Yes, I had two commissions, which one of which I'm working on at the present moment, and then I'll be moving on to the second one. I also sold a piece out of my portfolio, which was a piece which represented some lilies, which is canna lilies. And then all of the work that was for sale within the exhibition was sold.
It's incredible. And just about your sculpture itself, because you're doing this without sight. So, again, is this done purely by feel?
Well, with the residual vision, the 5% vision allows me this extremely light situation to be able to use what vision I do have. But when it comes to perception of depth, curve, form itself, a lot of the time my hands will tell the story. I've got an awful lot of cuts on my hands because I literally have to use my sense of feel to gauge the cuts that I want to make.
You wonder if the tree, when it was growing, ever thought it would end up in an exhibition and, you know, permanently preserved. Quite amazing.
Yes.
What's for the future for you? I heard a rumour that you might be entering into, well, I'll let you talk about it.
Yes, well, the future at the moment looks quite busy, but very exciting. I've actually been invited, well, I am now been made an ambassador for the RP Fighting Blindness organisation, which is an incredible honour for me because obviously the personal connection with RP, and for me to be put into a position where I can use it as a platform to reach other people with sight loss, and most especially newly diagnosed RP sufferers. I'm very excited about that. I'm actually public speaking for them at their annual conference in June in London, and they're also hosting a new exhibition in London for me at that conference as well. So a very interesting exhibition, obviously not quite the same as blind. It's called Fly, Freedom and Acceptance, and it basically has 8 pieces of work, which some pieces are quite diverse. As the work is diverse, and as I'm going, I'm creating skateboards, as that's something that I love to do, is one of my pastimes. There's a bamboo cane that I think is very relevant to the freedom of acceptance message I'm giving. And, you know, obviously there's 5 sculptures as well, but the guitar will be in there, which again is quite diverse. So it's really a collection of work that advocates everything that I'm about and everything I do, not just my sculpture, but my surfing and my skateboarding and my music and all the other things that I love.
I just wanted to mention that, actually, because Blind, A Sixth Sense, music was quite a big part of that exhibition, wasn't it? Music that you actually created?
Yes, that's right. I've been a musician for, God, well over 20 odd years, and I play piano and guitar and sing as well. So music's been a big part of my life. I've been in and out of many bands over the years. So for having an actual reason to create a guitar was amazing anyway. It's quite indulgent, to be honest, but it's something I've wanted to do. And, of course, it sat within the representation of sound beautifully.
Now, let me say, Turner Prize. Could that be a possible future route for you?
I don't know about the prize, but the Turner Tate Contemporary, so many people in the exhibition were saying to me, why is this not in the Turner? And my response to them, because there were so many people saying it, was like, if you really believe that it should be, then let them know. You as the public have the power, me as the artist basically doesn't. So people are of their word, and they were contacting the gallery, and lo and behold, now being reviewed as part of their exhibition program, which they have a quarterly exhibition program review of every year. And basically my exhibition is being put into that review to see if it's a possible exhibition that they will put in on 2020/21. So they always tend to do 2 years in advance, obviously, because of a national gallery. So we cross our fingers and hope.
It must be a really exciting year for you, this.
Yes, it is. It really is. It's a year that I didn't expect. I mean, when I was designing and working on the pieces for the exhibition, and indeed putting the exhibition together, that was a whole year in itself, which was quite focused on doing just that. And then obviously the exhibition happened, and it's been like this big opening up of all possibilities. I've got a filmmaker that's going to be creating a creative process film about my work, and also will be promoting all of the other interests that I have as well. And one of those things is to get a new website together. So although I have a website at the moment, it's very, very orientated to my work in sculpture. But this new website I'm hoping to get live by the end of the year. I want to basically use it as a central hub for people with sight loss, so that, you know, there can be somewhere where everyone can connect together and perhaps support and guide, as well as my own message, which I'm hoping will be an inspirational one, that disability is not an impairment to creativity or anything, in fact, and using that message by showing people the other things that I do.
What is your web address then, so that anyone can have a look at some of your work?
The current web address at the moment is www.victoriaclairsculpture.com.
Victoria, it's been a pleasure chatting with you, and I would love you to contact me a little bit later and let me know how things are going, and we can pass it on to everybody.
Absolutely. Thanks ever so much.
Take care.
And you. Bye-bye.